Now, a special needs trust, again, if we've got a beneficiary who has a disability, you can draft this as a special needs trust. Some people do separate some attorneys do separate retirement trust. Some attorneys put their retirement trust provisions within whatever trust they're drafting. So for drafting a special needs trust, we want to make sure that it is an accumulation trust and not a conduit trust. Now, under the old law, we wanted to make sure that the remainder beneficiary is similar in age. And we still want to make sure that the remainder beneficiary is not an estate or a charity. Now, if a person dies and a participant dies, and they named a beneficiary with disabilities as a beneficiary outright, so they didn't name a trust for that beneficiary, here are some options. That beneficiary could transfer that to a first-party special needs trust. The parent or guardian may have to go to court to apply for a 1301 management trust or have that trust created. But what's interesting is if that beneficiary is named outright and then they create a first-party trust, it does not have to qualify for a see-through trust, so we don't have to jump through those hoops. So, and they would still get the stretch of tax deferred growth. If that beneficiary inherits the IRA outright, for SSI and Medicaid purposes, that is considered income in the month received. And then if they retain it into the next month, of course, it's considered a resource. So typically what you want to do is have that special needs trust executed before that IRA is distributed to the beneficiary. So you can do that all in one calendar month. So hopefully at most they would lose just a month of benefits. That's not always guaranteed, but that would be our goal. Now, if there are multiple beneficiaries of a trust, let's say that the parent has a trust for four children, and they just name that trust as the beneficiary. So they say, we're leaving this to the Marilyn Mort Living Trust. Then under that situation, the RMDs for each subtrust might be based on the oldest of those children. But if in the beneficiary designation, it says a percentage to each of the four children's subtrust, then we know that each subtrust, the distribution for that beneficiary, would be based on that child's life expectancy. So in many situations, it's a better practice to actually name the subtrusts on the beneficiary designation form. Let's talk about taxation of retirement trusts. So if the trust is a beneficiary, distributions from that IRA will be considered gross income to the trust. Now, we know that the trust tax rate is 37% for income over $12,750. Now, if that income is distributed to the beneficiary, then the trust takes a tax deduction. That distribution to the beneficiary is taxed to the individual beneficiary. If it is a special needs trust, it may qualify as a qualified disability trust. The IRS has certain requirements for a qualified disability trust, and if those qualifications are met, then that trust will get a $4,125 personal exemption. So the first $4,125 of income would not be taxed, and so there are some tax benefits if it is a special needs trust. If you have an accumulation trust that does not distribute that RMD out, then it will be taxed at the trust tax rate. But keep in mind that there are certain expenses that can be deducted from those taxes. So if there are medical expenses or other medical expenses that are paid by the trust on behalf of the beneficiary, then that trust may have a deduction. So especially in some of the special needs trusts, it's possible that the trust not have to pay tax at that high tax rate. Conduit trusts are generally not subject to that income tax just because they are pushing that R&D out. Now let's talk about the SECURE Act. This became effective, of course, January 1st, 2020. I've put a copy of it in my paper. And this changes the payout for inherited IRA. So everything that we just talked about, it changes everything. We have a new general rule. So a The new rule is that a DB, designated beneficiary, has to take out distributions within 10 years. So we now have a 10-year rule that applies to most beneficiaries. So the stretch is gone for most beneficiaries. Now, the non-DB rules did not change by the Secure Act, so we still have the 5-year or the ghost rule for them. The designations of DB and see-through trust did not change either. So we have a new category, and this is eligible designated beneficiary, or EDB. EDBs get a lifetime stretch. So prior to this, many of the beneficiaries got a lifetime stretch, but now only EDBs get that stretch. So who is an eligible designated beneficiary? It's defined as a surviving spouse of the participant, a minor child of the participant, a disabled or chronically ill person, or a person who is less than 10 years younger than the participant. Now, if the EDB is a minor child of the participant, then that child gets a stretch until they reach the age of majority, and then they have to cash it out within 10 years. So stretch till majority, they get RMDs until they reach the age of majority, and then it's the 10-year rule. Now, majority is defined by state law, and the IRS has not completely clarified what this could be. So maybe if they're in college, majority could be up to the age of 26. So for all other EDBs, they get a lifetime stretch.